The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, fantasy baseball alert, bitches. I made the championship round. Team Crazy Crackers going up against the Houston Asterisks. And let me tell you, TR, who runs the Houston Asterisks, is the two-time defending champ in this league. So my hopes are not high that I'm going to beat him. I do have a pretty solid team, but so does this motherfucker. He's won the league 2 years in a row for a reason. So we'll see if I'm able to actually win my league this year. That would be fucking awesome. But hey, regardless, I made the championship round, and I will be super stoked if I take out the homie Houston Asterisks. All right, so let's get right into it. We had a hell of an interesting week 3 of football. We had some upsets. We had some crazy performances. Hell, we actually had a lot of motherfuckers yelling at each other, too, so on the sidelines. So let's get right into it. Let's start with which was probably the most uninteresting and boring game of the weekend, was the Houston Texans versus the Chicago Bears. The Chicago Bears did get the win 23-20. But I mean, it's Texans and Bears. So, I mean, really, who cares? The Texans, they're just a trash can team who we're still waiting to see actually get a win, which they have yet to do. They've tied, so I guess that's pretty cool. They just struggled all day. The Chicago Bears defense actually played really freaking well. Roquan Smith actually had the clutch interception to and sealed the deal for him. It got them into, he intercepted the ball, and then the Bears ended up driving for the game-winning field goal. So while it did end up being kind of a close game, I mean, it was Texans versus Bears. So I mean, who really cares that much besides Bears fans? I mean, the Bears actually did get some great movement on the ground as well from their running back, Herbert. He had 20 carries for 157 yards and 2 touchdowns, so that's pretty damn impressive if you ask me. Might want to pick him up on your fantasy football team, because I imagine that dude is on waiver wires right now in, like, everybody's league. All right, and then moving on to a much more exciting game, it was the Las Vegas Raiders at the Tennessee Titans. And, man, the Titans pretty much had they did have the lead the entire time. And the Raiders really didn't get going until the second half. And then in the fourth quarter, they were able to drive all the way down the field, but they were unable to convert on the two-point conversion. But it's just really kind of crazy that the Raiders are 0-3. They just really haven't looked that great, especially on offense. I mean, defense, I really expected them to struggle, but offensively, they're not lighting anybody up. And even though Devontae Adams, I wouldn't say he's having a down year, but he hasn't really had any type of breakout game yet. I mean, game one was a good game, but I mean, still, this team hasn't won anything yet. So nothing's really changed for the Raiders. The Titans, they did get a good win. You know, Derrick Henry, he had a good solid game. He had 20 carries for 85 yards and a touchdown. While Devontae Adams didn't have that great of a game, wide receiver for the Raiders, Hollins, he had a great game. He had 158 yards and a touchdown. Had this crazy over-the-shoulder catch, too, on the last drive for the Raiders, in which they would score the touchdown but not get the two-point conversion. He just made a huge, huge catch, like right over the shoulders, like a Willie Mays type catch. And, you know, Derek Carr, he didn't have a bad day. He was 26 for 44, 303 yards and 2 touchdowns. But a very disappointing start for the Raiders. And they're in a tough division, too, so they got to get some wins somewhere. But good for the Titans, because they really needed that win. Then one of the surprising games of the day, the Kansas City Chiefs at the Indianapolis Colts. the Colts got the win 20-17. It was a close game. It was actually back and forth for the majority of the game. But defensively, the Indianapolis Colts really stepped it up. And this is actually what I expected from the Colts all season, is that I knew defensively they were going to be a force to reckon with. They are a really good team defensively. It was just offensively, who knows what they were going to be. And while they did get the win and they did seem to find themselves a little bit more offensively, they still have some work to do. But I mean, it was the defense that really led the charge for them. I mean, they had Patrick Mahomes running for his life, and that's the way you can beat the Chiefs. Because Patrick Mahomes, he is their backbone. And if you've got him running for his life, and if he can't complete the passes he needs to get, well, then you've got a good shot at winning. And I wouldn't be shocked if this was kind of one of those trap games for the Chiefs as well, where they were kind of overlooking the Colts, since the Colts have played horrendous in the first two games. Maybe they kind of overlooked them. But, I mean, really, defensively, the Colts held it down, played a great game. And, hell, I mean, they really frustrated the hell out of Patrick Mahomes, because Mahomes was actually on the sideline arguing with his offensive coordinator, Eric Bieniemy, at one point in the game, too. So it was a very frustrating game for the Chiefs, and it was a very good game for the Colts, and that was a huge win that they needed for damn sure. Then another crazy game with a huge upset: the Buffalo Bills at the Miami Dolphins. The Miami Dolphins ended up walking away with the win 21-19. I mean, it's crazy, because if you look at the offensive stats, man, like, the Bills had the ball for the majority of the game. Offensively, they had way more yards. I mean, Josh Allen went 42 for 63, 400 yards and two touchdowns. So he had a solid day. But just, they couldn't really, they had a lot, especially on that that last drive, they just had their issues, and they just kind of seemed to fall apart as the game went on. You know, it's crazy. The Dolphins are 3-0. They are one of the only three undefeated teams in the league right now, along with the Philadelphia Eagles and the New York Giants. So that's just crazy. And but, I mean, that's a huge win for the Dolphins. I really am not surprised that they got the win, just because I had a feeling that the Bills and the Dolphins would split their matchups this season. So I guess this is going to be the win for the Dolphins on this end, obviously. But the Bills, man, they still looked good, though. I mean, you're going to have down games. They weren't going to go undefeated. And I'm sure they're going to learn some things and take away some things from this game. But the Miami Dolphins are currently undefeated. Then we had the Detroit Lions at the Minnesota Vikings, which also ended up being a crazy game. The Lions actually came out the gate and had the lead right off the bat, but then the Vikings made it the game in the second quarter. Going into halftime, they made it the game. But then in the third quarter, the Lions jumped out to another lead, and it looked like the Vikings were just going to stumble this one away. But Kirk Cousins, he took him down the field on a couple of drives. The Detroit Lions made a couple of stupid mistakes. Even Dan Campbell, the coach, has said instead of going for it on a field goal for 54 yards, he should have just at least attempted to go for it on the fourth down rather than going for the long field goal. Just because the way the Vikings were playing offensively, you could tell they were going to get it going at some point. But this was just a great battle back and forth, and the Vikings ended up getting the win. Jared Goff had a pretty solid day. He went 25 for 41, 277 yards and a touchdown. He's actually been pretty solid all season, and me personally, I've never been a Jared Goff fan. I've always kind of found him to be a pretty mediocre quarterback at best. But I gotta say, since he was traded to the Lions, even last year, I mean, he's really looked pretty good, especially for the Lions, you know what I mean? So, he's really impressed me as the Lions quarterback so far, and especially in these first three games. Regardless of whether they win or lose, the Lions are a scrappy team, and they're always in it. Dalvin Cook also had a good game yesterday. He had 17 carries for 96 yards and a touchdown. Unfortunately, he did suffer a dislocated shoulder, so who knows how long he's going to be out. Or if he's going to miss any time. But that's kind of been the theme of Dalvin Cook's career, is he's a very solid running back. And when he when he gets out there and he's 100%, he is a hell of a running back to deal with. But then at some point, he usually gets injured and he misses a couple games, or ultimately sometimes the entire season. So we'll see what happens with him there. But he did have a good game yesterday, and a good win for the Minnesota Vikings. Then we had the Baltimore Ravens at the New England Patriots. This game went about as I expected. The Ravens won 37-26 in a complete blowout. But man, Lamar Jackson, this guy is just carrying this team. I mean, as far as receivers goes, he doesn't really have a goddamn thing. But this guy, he just seems to score touchdowns like crazy. I mean, he had 3 touchdowns yesterday, and he's just killing it. And it's just crazy to see. He is the team. He is the offense. I mean, this offensive line is amazing. But I mean, overall, this guy, Lamar Jackson, is just killing it. If you were to be given an MVP for the first 3 games of the season, it's going to Lamar Jackson, because he's doing everything for this team. And even though they lost last week, they still had a great game. So the Ravens are just playing excellent football right now. Whereas the Patriots, this has got to be the worst Patriots team that Bill Belichick has ever coached. Mac Jones had 3 interceptions yesterday. And they were all towards the end of the game. On their last 3 drives, he threw 3 consecutive interceptions. And they just could not get it going offensively. I mean, yes, they scored 26 points, but overall, this team is garbage. And it looks like Mac Jones is actually going to miss some time as well, because he did end up at least spraining his ankle. They haven't really, at least from what I've seen, they haven't got the MRI results back. But it's looking like he's probably going to be missing a game or two. And they weren't really good with him. So it's going to be very interesting to see how the rest of this New England Patriots season transpires, because so far they've been awful. And it's just very shocking, because I really didn't, I've never expected this from a Bill Belichick team. And I know you're going to go through lulls. I get it. But Jesus Christ, like, you're Bill Belichick, man. You're a coaching freaking genius, for Christ's sake. I mean, it couldn't have all been Tom Brady. Come on, man. He was a 6th-round pick. And while I respect the fucking shit out of Tom Brady, we can't act like Tom Brady was everything. But I mean, at this point in time, what the Patriots are putting on the field right now, if I'm a Patriots fan, I'm pissed the fuck off, because this team is absolute trash at this point, offensively and defensively. There is nothing good to say about this New England Patriots team. And I know it's early in the season, but they don't look impressive in one way or the other. And I wouldn't be shocked if we might see the Patriots get like a top 5 draft pick this year, just because they do so horribly. So we'll see what happens with them. Then we had the Cincinnati Bengals at the New York Jets. The Bengals did get back on track this week. They pretty much dominated this game from start to finish. They won the game 27-12. Joe Flacco, he had 2 interceptions. So it's about time that Zach Wilson gets back. Flacco, he's had his moments during his time here taking over for Wilson. But I'm sure Jets fans are very eager to at least get Wilson back, so that they don't have a statue, the Statue of Liberty, standing in the backfield. They want the Statue of Liberty where it belongs, in Ellis Island, you know, not in their stadium. But this was another game where actually the defensive lineman, Quinnen Williams, got in a huge argument with his defensive line coach, and they had to be separated by some other players on the sideline as well. So it's getting very frustrating for the Jets players as well. But like I said, it was a good game for the Bengals, and good for them to get back on track, because, they had the 0-2 start, and this game they actually looked really solid, and they were able to dominate from start to finish, and that's always a good thing. Good way to get things going. Then we had the Philadelphia Eagles at the Washington Commanders, and the Eagles should actually change their name to the Commanders, because they commanded this freaking game from start to finish. They just obliterated Washington. It was so pathetic. I mean, right out the gate, the Eagles were just good to go. And, you know, Jalen Hurts is just, he had yet another spectacular game, 22 for 35, 340 yards and three touchdowns. I mean, I was just talking about Lamar Jackson carrying his team. Jalen Hurts is doing the same thing. Although defensively, they are looking really solid also. But I mean, just Jalen Hurts is just playing out of his mind. It's showing on the field, but yesterday was a pathetic showing from Washington and a completely dominating showing from the Eagles. Then we had the New Orleans Saints at the Carolina Panthers. Carolina finally got their first win. They won 22-14. Christian McCaffrey, he finally had a really good day. He went for 108 yards. And then on the opposite side of the ball, offensively, New Orleans didn't have a horrible day. Jameis Winston went 25 for 41, 353 yards and a touchdown. Chris Olave, he had a spectacular game. He had nine receptions for 147 yards. But really, just the Panthers, they got the lead right out the gate. And they were basically just able to hold off the Saints and get the win in the end. But it's a good win for the Panthers. Then we had the Jacksonville Jaguars at the Los Angeles Chargers, and holy shit, the Jaguars absolutely dominated the Chargers' ass yesterday. The Jaguars won 38-10, and this is crazy because the Chargers are a legit team. And I had a feeling this year the Jaguars were going to be a much improved team. I didn't pick them to be a playoff team to start this season, and it's going to take a lot for me to believe in them as a playoff team. I'm going to need to see how they progress as the season goes on. But right out the gate, man, they are looking solid offensively. It's great because you really worried about the growth of Trevor Lawrence because, you know, Trevor Lawrence was highly touted out of college, and as he should have been. I mean, he was getting comparisons basically to, like, Peyton Manning. Just, and if you remember when Peyton Manning was getting touted as a draft pick and everything, like, and he turned out to be a Hall of Fame player, like, that's high praise for Trevor Lawrence. And it wasn't a joke either, you know. Dude won national championships. He was a highly sought-after high school recruit. So him being a winner has basically been his whole life story until he came to the Jacksonville Jaguars. Then last year, his coach was Urban Meyer, a dude who obviously had no interest in coaching a team. So you're like, geez, I really hope this guy's career doesn't go in the toilet just because of coaching. Lucky for him, they signed Doug Peterson this offseason. And so far, they've turned around this offense, and they look really solid. I mean, offensively, you can't really say anything bad about them offensively in the first three games. But especially this one, they just dominated the whole freaking game. Justin Herbert, he was hurting, but he still had a pretty good game. He went 25 for 45, 297 yards and a touchdown. But then you also look at on the offensive side for the Jaguars. Well, Trevor Lawrence is having a solid season. So is their running back, Robinson. He had 17 carries for 100 yards and a touchdown, but he's had a solid three games so far. So right now, the Jaguars are putting it together, and we'll see what they could do the rest of the year. And they are in a very weak-ass division. You know, they've got the Colts, who knows what they're going to do this season. They've got the Titans with who knows what they're going to do this season. And then you have the Texans, who fucking suck. So potentially, if the Jaguars play their cards right, they could make the playoffs but win in their division because it's so bad. Offensively, they look really fucking good. And they've already beat, they kicked the shit out of the Colts last week. So they've already beat one of their division rivals. So look out for the Jaguars to at least be a threat to a lot of teams this season, because beating the Chargers, even though Herbert, you know, he's got the rib injury, so fucking what? That was still some domination. I mean, that Chargers defense still has Khalil Mack, still has J.C. Jackson, and Bosa did get injured in the second half of the game yesterday, but still, come on, man. That's a good-ass team that the Jaguars beat, and that's an impressive win by them. Then we had the Los Angeles Rams at the Arizona Cardinals. And the Rams dominated from start to finish. They got the win 20-12. I mean, really, the Cardinals not looking good at all. I don't know if it's so weird because all offseason, there's just been this trading of barbs between Kyler Murray, the Cardinals owner, the Cardinals president, the Cardinals coach, and they've just been trading barbs with each other even during the season. Now, I thought it would stop once the, you know, because in the offseason, you know, with the whole contract dispute, I wasn't surprised it was going on then because it's a contract dispute. But once you've signed the contract and you've got your extension, it should be move on and let's play some football. But it's not been move on, let's play some football. If you really watch the, I know a lot of people don't watch the press conferences, and I don't watch every one of them, but the ones I have seen with the Cardinals, whenever you hear them talk, when you hear Kyler talk, like he was basically saying the play calling was shit yesterday. And so that's kind of calling out your coach. And then, you know, a couple weeks ago, his coach is kind of calling him out by saying it helps to practice or something along those lines. So they've just been going back and forth. And so you got to wonder if there's just some type of rift between Kyler Murray and the front office and the coaching staff where it's just really affecting the season. Because offensively, even though the Cardinals got the win last week, that was a very fluky win. But overall, the Cardinals have been a awful team offensively. And what we expected them to be a lot better offensively. Defensively is where I expected them to struggle. But offensively, they just have not got it together. And I don't know if they're going to be able to get it together. And then on the Rams side of the ball, they just were the same old Rams kicking ass. It did look like they were going to fall apart in the end. So that seems to be a theme for the Rams so far. But like I said, the first month of football is going to be very sloppy. Most teams that you expect, like this is kind of what I, with the Bills and the way they lost yesterday, I think it's just because it's the first month is going to be sloppy football. And some teams are still working their way through their plays and getting to know each other and just all their mannerisms and the playbook, and you're going to cut here and I'm going to cut there and you need to go this way and that, and you need to block that way. Like there's a lot of kinks that they do have to work out. That's what preseason's for. But since the starters don't play preseason anymore, this first month of football is going to be sloppy. You can see it. And I haven't gotten to a couple games yet that were very sloppy yesterday, but that's what I expect from especially teams you really like the Rams. Most people would expect the Rams to absolutely dominate and not give up leads in the end, which they've done the last 2 weeks. But you know they still have to get shit together. They may be the Super Bowl champs, but they still have to get shit together like every other team in the league. But the Cardinals, not looking good for y'all. Not looking good for y'all. Then a very surprisingly good game was from the Atlanta Falcons at the Seattle Seahawks. The Falcons did get the win 27-23, but it was back and forth all the way till the very end. I mean, it came down to a Geno Smith interception on the last drive. Geno Smith actually had a very solid day. He went 32 for 44, 325 yards and two touchdowns. Then you had Cordarrelle Patterson on the other side. This guy is insane. He literally jumped over a defender yesterday. He had 17 carries for 141 yards and a touchdown. And then Kyle Pitts also had a good game. He had 87 yards. But, I mean, for two shitty teams, this actually ended up being a very exciting game for both of them. And the Falcons ended up getting the win. And it just was a back-and-forth affair with you know, turnovers at certain points of the game, and it really just came down to that last drive and Geno Smith's final interception. But it was a good game from two shitty-ass teams. Then the marquee game of the afternoon was the Green Bay Packers at the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. I think the majority of us really expected it to be a crazy offensive shootout, but it actually ended up being defense galore. First and foremost, I don't think a lot of people are talking about this Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense, but this defense is stacked, and they've just dominated all three games so far. Even though they didn't get the win, they have really just shut out some motherfuckers. And I mean, yesterday it looked like the Packers were just going to go on a tear. It started off like the Buccaneers were just playing like absolute shit. It was like a couple three and outs, and they just looked like crap. And then the Packers, every time they got the ball, it was like, boom, 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 we're down the field scoring touchdowns. But then the second half started, and it was crickets from both offenses. It was crazy, too, because there was this one point, I can't recall if it was in the second quarter or the third quarter, but the Packers were in scoring range, and they were in the red zone, and there was this pass from Aaron Rodgers to Aaron Jones, the running back. And, you know, Aaron Jones, it looks like he's going to score this touchdown. Until big-ass motherfucking Vita Vea, the defensive tackle of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. If you have not seen this hit, go take a look at it because he levels the fuck out of Aaron Jones. As a matter of fact, I didn't even really realize it until I was watching replays later today because I watched that game yesterday. And I kept wondering to myself, why is Aaron Jones, because they after this fumble, you know, he got leveled by Vita Vea and it caused a fumble and the Buccaneers ended up getting the ball back. But the Packers were easily going to score until Vita Vea just knocked his ass out. But after that play, I noticed Aaron Jones really wasn't in the game after that. And I'm kind of wondering if he just got trucked so fucking hard by this 350-pound defensive tackle that he just, like, he didn't know what the hell was going on and just had to be taken out of the game. Although Dylan was having a good game. And so maybe that's just kind of what they were leaning towards. But I think it was a mistake that they weren't having Aaron Jones really in the game for whatever reason, because it was a very quiet game overall, especially in the second half from the Packers offense. But I mean, there really wasn't much offense from the Bucs either. Other than the last drive, you know, of course, Tom Brady, he takes the Buccaneers down for a game-winning drive. And they take it all the way down. They score the touchdown, but they need a two-point conversion. Unfortunately for them, it was just as they're about ready to snap the ball. It, unfortunately, it was a delay of game, so that pushed them back a little bit. And so that really fucked them over for the two-point conversion. And the Packers ended up getting the win. Tom Brady did have a solid day. He went 31 for 42, 271 yards and a touchdown. His primary receiver yesterday was Russell Gage. He had 12 receptions, 87 yards and a touchdown. But the Packers, you know, they were able to fend off the Buccaneers on that final drive and get the win. And that was a big win. But like I said, I think most people really expected it to be an offensive shootout. But, you know, I always respect defensive play like this, especially from the Buccaneers. And then also of note, like I said, I was primarily watching this game in the afternoon yesterday. And I don't know if any of you saw, but the wide receiver, Alan Lazard, before the game, he was actually questionable due to an illness. And dude was still sick when he was on the field because after his touchdown that he scores and he celebrates, he's running off the sideline and he just starts projectile vomiting orange shit everywhere. It was just disgusting. But man, you got to really give it up to dudes like that. I know he's not the only guy to play sick like that and then projectile vomit on the sideline. That's actually happened. I've seen it happen quite a few times in baseball. You just see it in sports because, duh, they get sick like every other human being does. But you really got to give it up to athletes when, because he played the rest of the game. Hell, he even got interviewed after the game and looked just fine. But it's like, man, I know when I throw up, my body's like aching and I'm just not, and almost sweaty and I'm just not feeling good. There's no way I could like work out or do something like that after I've just projectile vomited everywhere. This dude gets right back on the field and finishes the game. So shout out to Alan Lazard. He deserves the game ball just for that shit because I can't even imagine being that sick, vomiting on the sideline. Hell, he probably was vomiting before the game for all we know, but he vomits on the sideline and comes right back in the game and plays. That's what you call a motherfucking trooper. And then the Sunday night game, which was a shit show from the San Francisco 49ers and the Denver Broncos. Both of them. They both put on an atrocious showing last night on the offensive side of the ball. Now, both of their defenses, you got to give it up to them. They did. They played great. But whoa. Like, a lot of people are apparently upset with Jimmy Garoppolo this morning, and I just look at you and go, you're an idiot, because you got to look at it like this, okay? Jimmy Garoppolo wasn't expected to even be a part of the 49ers roster. They didn't give the dude the playbook during this offseason. He didn't participate in anything really even much until he re-signed, he restructured his contract and they were going to let him be the backup. So you got to look at it like this. Jimmy G really doesn't know much of this offense except for week one. You know what I mean? So he's still got to work. He's still got to figure shit out. But also at the same time, he's never been like an explosive quarterback. The rest of this offense has to do something too. You know what I mean? So it wasn't just him. Now they looked better offensively than the Broncos, even though the Broncos got the win 11-10. Yeah, that's a score, 11-10. But what the hell is going on with Russell Wilson? Now, I think Broncos fans are just as stupid for immediately like getting upset with their team. We're in week three, y'all. You might not want to boo your new shit that's going on. Because I'm sorry, I know we all got spoiled with seeing Matthew Stafford and Tom Brady win in their first seasons when they get traded to their teams. But sorry, Broncos fans, you got a new coach too. And so that means you got a whole new system and new things got to be worked out. But man, I got to tell you, Russell Wilson, last night, that was an awful showing from him other than the last drive. He did show shades of Russell Wilson on that last drive, but he was throwing some ducks. Like, he was throwing into some coverage. You're like, what kind of pass is that? What are you seeing? I mean, I'm sure he still has to get to know the receivers because, you know, this is his first year with all of them. So he's got to, you know, play with them more to get rep with them more. But he just looked bad last night. And it wasn't just him. I mean, that offensive line is trash. He really didn't have a lot of time to throw on many of those occasions. And the ground attack is terrible as well. They really were just lucky that that last drive, Russell Wilson was just kind of like, I got to be Russell Wilson again. And he did. He went, that last drive was impressive. Hopefully for him, it gives him a boost or kicks him in the ass, because these first three games from the Denver Broncos offense has been awful. Defensively, though, yesterday, like I said, the Niners look great defensively. Freaking Bosa, that guy is just, he's just insane. He's in on like every freaking play, it seems like. So defensively, the Niners are looking great. Honestly, I think if they, you know, they had a lot of mistakes. You know, they had the stupid, when Jimmy G, he got the safety when he ran out of bounds. So that cost them. But I mean, it was just a very sloppy game for both offenses. But defensively, both played well. Just a very weird, uneventful game. And I can't believe the final score is 11-10, but it is. So tonight's game, my Dallas Cowboys at the New York Giants. Right now, the Giants are a 3.5-point favorite. Sounds about right. I mean, they are at home, so you always get you usually get 3 points for being at home. You know me, I don't pick against my Dallas Cowboys. So how are my Cowboys going to win tonight? Well, first and foremost, I don't think the Giants are for real. I think those two first wins were fluky. Hey, they got the wins. A win is a win. I'm not trying to take those wins away from them. I'm just saying they weren't very convincing in those two wins. Dallas, on the other hand, yes, we're coming in with Cooper Rush, who is our second string quarterback. But he played solid last week. Didn't look too bad. I want to see a lot more from CeeDee Lamb. He really hasn't shown up this year, so hopefully he's able to do something tonight. But I'm really expecting the defense to carry the Cowboys tonight. Micah Parsons, he's just been insane the first two games. Apparently he is sick. So we'll see if he's projectile vomiting on the sideline, just like Lazard was yesterday. I don't think he's that kind of sick though. I think he's more like cold sick, but regardless, he's apparently sick, but I still expect him to be the beast that he always is. But, I really expect the Cowboys defense to key in on the Giants offense today. I expect them to get at Daniel Jones, get him to force a couple of turnovers. The Cowboys maybe will score a defensive touchdown, but definitely help set their offense up in solid position to get some easy scores. And I've got my Dallas Cowboys winning a close battle tonight against the New York Giants 23-14. And then we also had some awesome motherfucking news, the halftime show was announced this year. Now, it can always be hit or miss for me. Like I've always said, I like the halftime show, but I don't care if they have it. I'm there for the football. Super Bowl Sunday to me is football, football, football. But if it's a good halftime show, like it was last year, it makes me more excited. And this year, we have one of my favorites, Rihanna. So excited that we've got Rihanna doing the Super Bowl halftime show. She's got so many great hits, so it's going to be very interesting to see what she comes out and does. It's kind of shocking because she is a very risque artist in a good way. I don't hate anything that Rihanna does. I love everything that Rihanna does. She's also great live. I went to see her on the Anti-World Tour like years ago. I think that was back in like 2015, 2016. It was many years ago. Us Rihanna fans have been waiting for this bitch to release some music, and she just taking her goddamn time. She acts like she's some fucking billionaire or something who could just sit around and be a boss bitch or some shit. She don't need no music, right? Wrong. Bitch is coming back for the halftime show, and I'm super excited about that. Regardless of what she does, very excited. And I will note, she does have a song with my girl Britney Spears, SNM. So maybe for one of her surprise people she brings out, fingers crossed for me at least, please bring out Britney, bitch. That would be excellent if you would bring out some Britney Spears with you, because Britney and Rihanna would make it even better. But regardless, we got us some Rihanna for the Super Bowl halftime show, and I'm looking forward to that shit. All right, now moving on to some baseball. In my top 10 MLB power rankings, and we had shit, man. We are getting close to the playoffs. We had a couple more teams clinch some playoff spots, and we had a historic week of baseball as well. So I'll get to all that once we get to it. But let's get to the top 10 MLB power rankings, starting off with the goddamn stupid motherfucking Los Angeles Dodgers. Who else is going to be number one? Who the fuck else is going to be number one besides the stupid Dodgers? Overall record of 106-47. Yep, 106-47. By the way, they've already clinched the number one seed in the playoffs. So, hey, everybody's going to LA. How you like that shit? I don't. But not like my stupid-ass Giants are making the postseason. Those losers are going to be kicking it in San Francisco the rest of the offseason. Ugh. But anyways, Dodgers, that 106 wins is, by the way, that's a... It's a Los Angeles Dodgers record. That's a team record for them. So they're just breaking records this year. This past week, they played the St. Louis Cardinals and the Arizona Diamondbacks, and they're just kicking everybody's ass. So not really much else to say about them, except they're just fucking great, and I hope somebody kicks their ass in the postseason, because that's the only hope we got, people. Then at number two on my top 10 MLB power rankings, them New York Yankees. They have shot the fuck up now. Their overall record's 94-58. They are 8-2 in their last 10 games, and they are on a 7-game winning streak right now, which is how they shot up my top 10, because they've really fallen down. But they really have, they've put it together. And, you know, you got Aaron Judge, who is right now the AL Triple Crown leader. So he's hanging on to that. He's still at 60 home runs. So we're still waiting for him to tie Roger Maris. But, I mean, it doesn't matter. The Yankees are winning. Like I said, they got Rizzo back, and he's had a great week. Gleyber Torres, he's been having, like, a great freaking month. He's had so many, like, grand slams, game-winning hits. This guy's just been killing it. Then you've got their starting pitching that's also just been stepping it up. Nestor Cortez, he's had a solid season, continues to have a solid season. Cole is back on track. So the Yankees back up to number two on my top 10 MLB power rankings. Then another team, a surprising team that has not shot up this high. At number three, I've got the Cleveland Guardians. Overall record of 86-67, and the reason why the Guardians have shot all the way up is because they are 9-1 in their last 10 games, and they are also on a 7-game winning streak. And they are just killing it, man. They swept the Chicago White Sox this past week. They swept the Rangers this week. And they are just doing it. They clinched their division yesterday as well. So they are already in the playoffs. They won their division. But this week, man, Stephen Kwan is the guy. He's had a grand slam. He's had a couple of big hits. And I got to tell you, this is a guy on my fantasy baseball team who got me to the championship. So shout out to Stephen Kwan and Aaron Judge, two guys killing it for me right now. I really need y'all's help this week. So keep it up, fools. Keep it up. But the Guardians, you really got to watch out for this team in the AL come playoff time, because they could be very sneaky. You know, they've got Terry Francona as their manager. He is a great manager. I don't think a lot of people even remember that he manages, because they don't really talk about him anymore. You don't really even hear about the Guardians at all. But the Guardians are a damn good team, and look out for them come playoff time. Then at number four on my top 10 MLB power rankings, I've got the New York Mets. Overall record of 97-57. They are 8-2 in their last 10 games. This past week, they played the Oakland A's and the Milwaukee Brewers. And it's just all about Pete Alonso, man. The guy had 5 RBIs yesterday in the game, and he has now set the New York Mets record for most RBIs in a season. He's currently at 128. He could add more to it because we still have the rest of this week to go. That passes Mike Piazza, who set that record back in 1999. So congrats to Pete Alonso. He's just had a phenomenal season, as have the Mets as a whole. You know, Max Scherzer, he had a solid outing earlier in the week. Francisco Lindor, he's having a great season. It's just, this team is stacked from top to bottom, and they are just riding on into the playoffs. And they've maintained this level of play from start to finish. So let's see what happens with the Mets come playoff time. Then at number five on my top 10 MLB power rankings, I've got the Atlanta Braves, 95-58 overall record. They're 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they played the Philadelphia Phillies and the Washington Nationals. Acuna is just having a great week. He's made some big plays this week. But you got it, man, their starting pitching is just lights out. This is the first time since 1886 that two starting pitchers have eclipsed 200 strikeouts in a season on one team, and that would be Spencer Strider and Charlie Morton. Those two have done that this year for the Atlanta Braves. But that doesn't stop there. Kyle Wright leads the league right now with 20 wins. So the Braves are just as solid as as all these teams that I'm talking about above them. That's why I'm talking about the Dodgers. They are a great team from top to bottom, but the Mets and the Braves could easily compete with them when it comes to starting pitching, scoring runs, and defense. I mean, these are really, really three teams that don't have a lot of weaknesses. So, and that's why you play 5- and 7-game series in the playoffs, because you need that many games to prove that one team is that good, because it's going to get really, really interesting come playoff time. All right, and then at number six on my top 10 MLB power rankings, fallen just a little bit, because, I mean, really, out of all the teams above them, they're stumbling, but it's not a real stumble. It's really just because they got beat a couple times bad this weekend, and that would be the Houston Astros. Overall record of 101-53, so they're great. They've already clinched their division. They're off to the playoffs. 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they played the Baltimore Orioles and the Tampa Bay Rays, and they got shut out twice by the Orioles, which is why they fell for me. Because, I mean, you really when you've got so many good teams in baseball right now, it's really difficult to just kind of pick who's better than the other. And so, unfortunately, Astros, since we've got two teams with 7-game winning streaks and all that kind of shit, you're going to fall to six. But I'm sure the Astros are just fine, since they're currently the number one overall seed in the American League. They'll be all right. Just ask Yordan Alvarez, who's just had a great season. You know, he's batting well over 300. He's got, 34 home runs on the season. So he's just having a great, he's having a great, like, month. He's had a great year, but, he had a little bit of a downslide after he came back from the injured list, but he's back in Alvarez form. And they had a huge 11th inning rally yesterday too. So, the Astros just as great as those other teams ahead of them. Then number seven on my top 10 MLB power rankings of the Milwaukee Brewers. Overall record of 82-71, 6-4 in their last 10 games. This past week, they played the Cincinnati Reds and the New York Mets. And Hunter Renfroe, he has had a phenomenal season, but a really great week as well. He's pretty much just been involved in every single game that they had last week. And then Willy Adames, he continues to dominate behind the plate, but also defensively as well. So the Brewers, They really need a surge too, because they're on the outside looking in on the wild card playoffs. But if they're able to get on a little bit of a winning streak here, and either the Padres or the Phillies start to kind of fall, you might see the Brewers sneak up into that last playoff spot. Then at number 8 on my top 10 MLB power rankings are the Toronto Blue Jays. Overall record of 86-67, 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they played the Tampa Bay Rays and the Philadelphia Phillies. George Springer, he had a 2-home-run game yesterday, and he had a great week as well. And then they're starting pitching Alek Manoah, who you really haven't heard of, but who has just been having a phenomenal season. He's had one of the lowest ERAs all year. He's also one of the strikeout leaders, been in the top 5 all season, and his start this week, he went for 7 scoreless innings. So he's having a great season, and the Blue Jays are making a nice run for the playoffs right now. Then at number 9 on my top 10 MLB power rankings, the St. Louis Cardinals. Overall record of 89-65. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. This past week, they played the Dodgers and the San Diego Padres. But this week was really all about Albert Pujols. You know, it became the 4th player ever in the history of the league to hit for 700 home runs. Friday night, he was at 698. He ended up hitting 2 home runs against the Los Angeles Dodgers in Dodger Stadium. So that's about the only negative thing you could say about the Dodgers season this year, which I wouldn't say is that bad of a thing. Especially because Pujols actually did play for the Dodgers last year as well. So they have respect and love for him out there. But it was awesome just to see him walk up to the plate, hit both of his home runs. Great moment for him, because he's just one of the legends of the game. You know, he's been in the league since 2001. He's been a 3-time MVP. He's won 2 World Series championships. He's a Silver Slugger Award winner. He's a Gold Glove Award winner. He's just been a solid, excellent player from start to finish. You know, the last couple of seasons have not been so great for him just because, you know, he is 42 years old. Lucky for him, the National League did add the designated hitter position, so he was able to extend his career to at least get to the 700 home run mark. And it's an amazing accomplishment just because the only other players to do it are Barry Bonds, Hank Aaron, and Babe Ruth. And so to only have 4 players throughout the history of the league do that, and for me, I got to witness Pujols' entire career. It's just awesome to see, and congratulations to him. And we'll see what, because the Cardinals look like they're going to win their division. I'm assuming they're going to. They have a pretty solid lead right now, so we're definitely going to see if Pujols is able to extend his career even further out. I mean, you really have no idea what's going to happen in the playoffs. So for all we know, this team could go to the World Series and win it all. But regardless, great, amazing career by Albert Pujols. I feel privileged to have watched his entire career. And, you know, thanks for everything that you have given the game. And we'll see how the rest of your career goes, because, I mean, hey, he still has, like I said, the rest of this regular season. He might hit another couple of home runs to just get a little bit over 700. And then we'll see if he's able to make some big plays come playoff time. And then rounding out my top 10 MLB power rankings this week, I have the San Diego Padres. Overall record of 85-68, 7-3 in their last 10 games. This past week, they played the Colorado Rockies and the St. Louis Cardinals. And Manny Machado, he had a great week. But for me, my question with the San Diego Padres is, where the hell is Juan Soto? They traded for Juan Soto months ago at the trade deadline. And this dude hasn't done shit for them at all. It's just insane that kind of a fall off. And you just really wonder what the hell happened. Now, I will say, prior to him getting traded, he wasn't having the typical season that we thought he would. I'm not saying he had like a down season, but he wasn't really dominating like he should. But then he got traded to San Diego and just disappeared off the face of the planet. I mean, I when I was looking at what they've done through the week, you couldn't even see that he had scored an RBI, and maybe he did, because I really haven't been paying much attention to the Padres at all for the most part, but you haven't heard his name at all. And it's just very shocking that a player of his caliber gets traded And you expect them to have some type of impact. And this team is making a playoff run. They are in the wild card hunt currently right now. So you just wonder what the hell happened. And same with Josh Hader. Closer, he was the best closer in the league. Gets traded to the Padres, and now he's, where the hell is he? So I don't know what's going on in San Diego. They never seem to be able to win shit anyways. That's their problem historically over the years. But, I mean, you would have thought, trading for Juan Soto, that we would at least hear his name. And we have not heard his name at all. And then the last bit of little baseball news we have is Don Mattingly, who is currently the manager of the Miami Marlins. He is going to resign at the end of the season, which is not really surprising because they haven't really been successful under him. And, I mean, you could kind of already tell that the Florida Marlins were already kind of going through an overhaul and a rebuild season. And you could tell it started last season and it was going to continue into this season. And I feel like Mattingly resigning is just another piece of that pie. So the Florida Marlins, or I'm sorry, the Miami Marlins, used to be the Florida Marlins. Now they're the Miami Marlins, doing what the Marlins do. Be a shitty organization. Anyways, let's do a little recap of the playoff picture for baseball. The AL West already won by the Houston Astros, and they are the number one overall seed right now. Then in the AL East, the New York Yankees, they hold an 8.5 game lead over the Toronto Blue Jays. Then in the AL Central, the Guardians, they just won that division yesterday, so currently they would be the number three seed. Then in the wild card, currently the three teams leading are the Toronto Blue Jays, the Tampa Bay Rays, and the Seattle Mariners, with the Baltimore Orioles four games back. In my opinion, this is kind of how it's going to end up in the AL. Obviously, we've already got the Astros and the Guardians set. I feel like the Yankees are going to win their division easily. And then I don't really see Baltimore sneaking in. Baltimore has had they've been a very solid team, even though they're not really in much of playoff contention. But, you know, they did dominate the Astros this week, and they shut them out twice. So they're a really good team, but I don't see them sneaking in. You know, Seattle, while they're on the down, they've had kind of like a down week. I still think Toronto, Tampa, Seattle, they've got a lot more going on than Baltimore does. So I feel like this is the way the AL is going to turn out when it's all said and done. And then over the National League and the NL West, you know, the Dodgers already won their division and they are the number one overall seed in the playoffs. Then in the NL East, we still have a battle between the New York Mets and the Atlanta Braves. Currently, the Mets have the 1.5 game lead over the Braves for the division. Then in the NL Central, the Cardinals currently have a 6.5 game lead over the Brewers. And then the wild card, the Braves have already clinched a spot, so there's only two wild card spots left up for grabs. And that right now that's taken up by the San Diego Padres and the Philadelphia Phillies, with the Milwaukee Brewers 1.5 games out. I wouldn't be surprised if, you know, this is kind of how I look at the National League. I feel like it's pretty much set. Where obviously the Dodgers, they won their division, so they're good to go. I kind of feel like the Mets are going to hang on to their division. I feel like the Cardinals are obviously going to win their division. Then that would leave the Braves. Obviously, they're going to be a wild card spot. I would not be shocked because both the Padres and the Phillies are kind of starting to fall. They're very streaky teams, and they're up and down. And right now, the Phillies are down. The Padres are up. And the Brewers are up. So I wouldn't be surprised if the Padres or the Phillies end up falling off and giving that last spot to the Brewers. If I had to pick, I think it's going to be the Padres who fall off and the Brewers end up sneaking in. So my wild card would be Atlanta, Phillies and Brewers, but we'll see how it turns out. And then one last note today. Happened on Saturday. Oh man, the Oklahoma Sooners lost to Kansas State 41-34. It was fucking hilarious too, man. Oklahoma got their asses handed to them. I mean, handed to them by Kansas State, you know. It's always amusing to me because, you know, The Longhorns have had their struggles over the years, and yes, they lost too. They had their shitty game also. They lost to Texas Tech in overtime in a stupid loser game that they should have won, but their defense, and they just weren't able to put it together. But you know what? The Longhorns, we know what we're getting with them, okay? I didn't expect them to be national champions this year. They have some growing pains. But you know, with the Sooners, they're always funkin' ranked for some reason, and I don't get it. They always get this, like, clout. And I'm like, for what? They haven't won shit in for fucking ever. But for some reason, every year, they're always ranked. And they're always, like, a national... People always pick them for, like, a national champion contender. And I'm like, what the fuck? How? And then they go out and lay eggs like this, and it just makes me laugh. And I'm like, see, this is why OU is not a legit team, and you should not be giving them clout until they actually prove it, which they have yet to do. And by the way, this game against Kansas State was not a good one by any stretch of the measure for them. They gave up 509 total yards of offense to Kansas State, okay? Kansas State is a shit team, for real. They should not be putting up 509 total yards of offense against OU, who is a ranked team. I can't recall where they were ranked. Where were they ranked? Like five, whatever. Who the fuck cares? They're stupid-ass Oklahoma. Who cares about that dumbass team? But it was funny to me. It was hilarious to me watching them get their asses beat. Yeah. And they'll probably still be ranked this week, too. They'll probably be in the top 10, because who the fuck cares? They just lost to Kansas State, right? They're the Sooners. But it was hilarious to see them lose. That bad. Oh, it's going to be Texas OU week in a couple weeks, too. So we'll see if the Longhorns are able to get a win. But OU lost this week, and that was fucking hilarious. So Boomer Sooner, bitches! Hilarious shit. Oh, that was funny. That was funny, and that's a great way to end the show with laughing at that OU loss. So I hope you guys enjoy the rest of the week of sports. Got my Dallas Cowboys playing tonight, so hopefully I'll be seeing them get a win tonight. You never know with those assholes, though. They're always known to lay a fucking egg, especially with Cooper Rush at quarterback. Who the hell knows what we're going to get? But I'll be watching, and I will talk to you fucktards on Wednesday.